Hello and welcome to another episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives. My name is Diana Isaacs, and I'm joined with Natalie Bellini. And today we want to bring you some hot new off-the-press publications and data that were presented at EASD. So to jump right into it, this is going to be kind of another GLP-1 episode because there's so much news in this space. But to start us off, we now have the full publication of ATTAIN-1 with orforglipron. So Natalie, you want to tell us all about it?
Absolutely. So published in the New England Journal of Medicine. And so let's do a little bit of background, right? Remember, this is a small molecule, a non-peptide oral GLP-1 receptor agonist. And why is this important? It's because it can be taken differently, right? It can be taken with other medications. So in this study specifically, it was a phase three study, right? What does that mean? It's a bigger study, multinational randomized double-blind trial. They examined the safety and efficacy of once daily orforglipron at doses of 6 milligrams, 12 milligrams, and 36 milligrams as compared to placebo, as an adjunct to healthy diet, right, and physical activity, for 72 weeks for those without diabetes. So these people had obese as part of their diagnosis. They did not have diabetes. And why is this important? Because when we have someone, when we're looking at these same types of molecules, these GLP-1s, when we have GLP-1s, when we're treating diabetes, we do have less weight loss, right? So this is for people specific for weight loss. They looked at 3,127 patients. They went under and underwent randomization, right? And what were they looking at? Of course, with obesity, we're looking at change in body weight from baseline at week 72. So interesting, because that's a big jump, isn't it? So 72 weeks is a long time. Average weight loss at 6 milligrams was 7.5%, 8.4% with 12 milligrams, and 11.2% with 36 milligrams, as compared to the placebo, which was 2.1%, right? So that is pretty impressive, right? Now let's dig a little bit deeper into the data. Among the patients that were taking 36 milligrams, 54% had a reduction of 10% or more, 36% had a reduction of 15% of their body weight or more, and 18.4% had a reduction of 20% or more, compared to 12%, 5.9%, and 2.8% of the patients. Okay, so just remember that these are big jumps and big drops in weight circumference, blood pressure, triglycerides, non-HDL cholesterol levels improved with the treatment as compared to placebo across the board. And now we got to talk about what else? Adverse events, right? In treatment discontinuation in 5.3% to 10% of the patients, and only in 2% of the patients in the placebo group, right? So some people have GI side effects of this, right? This is the most common adverse event with all GLP-1s, and which mostly were mild to moderate, though. So ultimately, what does this trial show? 72 weeks of treatment with orforglipron led to significantly greater reductions in body weight than placebo. The adverse event profile was consistent with that of GLP-1 receptor agonists. So big, big, big news, big percentages in weight loss. Diana, how do you feel about this?
I think this is really huge. I think that if people could take a daily pill that has similar efficacy for weight loss compared to an injection, I actually think a lot of people would be really excited about it. And I know it seems like people are jumping to do injections and they don't mind, but there's still a ton of people out there that really dread it. They have to have somebody else, like another family member or someone, give them their injection. And I think this idea of a daily pill, which most of us have taken some type of pills in our lives for various things, I think that maybe easier for a lot of people. And the big thing here is just it being a non-peptide where it's not going to get degraded by the body. It does not need to be taken in any special way. It can be taken with your cholesterol medicine, with your any of your other medications, right? Almost any of them. So I just think that if this comes to market, it's really like it's going to be a game changer.
I think so too. And I think when we look at the fact that, all the earlier studies, right, when we do studies, we look at different aspects of, but this is, of, okay, what does the first round look like? Okay, we're just making sure it's safe. And then what do? We try it in a handful of people. Now, this is 3,100 plus patients with obesity that were randomized to three different doses or a placebo. And the data is significant. And I think you're right. I think people, when I do spend a lot of my days convincing someone that a once weekly GLP-1 or GLP-GIP is significant and worth it. And there's cardiovascular, and there's some of them have sleep apnea, and some of them have, all these new indications, right? As these indications line up, some of them, though, people say, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. So for these people with obese, not with diabetes, this is not a diabetes study, but with obesity alone, this is significant and this is impressive.
Right. And I mean, it appears to be there is a dose dependent effect, which is what
Yes.
we see with other GLP type of agents, in that there's more weight loss with higher doses, but also typically you have more side effects with higher doses, which is why it's good to actually have multiple dosing options because some people will just tolerate the lower dose much better. And we certainly don't want there to be discontinuation with the higher
Yeah,
dose.
I think that's really important for all GLP-1s, right? I think this is something that you and I do all the time. I have a lot of people who take semaglutide 0.5, and we've tried to increase it and it didn't work, right? They just had too many GI side effects, and we try to say things like, oh, it gets better. It's usually with increases, but some people just can't tolerate higher doses. The same thing with tirzepatide, the same thing with dulaglutide. And so we are not stuck to, you must have the highest dose, you must get. What we want is some of it in their bodies, right? Some is better than none. So when we look at discontinuation rates and those kinds of things with GLP-1s overall, this is really important to say, okay, they can tolerate this much. Now we can look at other medications to use in combination with those. Don't give up, right? Don't stop the medicine. And a lot of times, if I have someone that stopped it, when they come back in, they'll say, oh no, you increased it to whatever and it made me ill. Okay, thank you for telling me that. What was the max dose you could take? Let's start again. Let's titrate you up, and I will actually put in your note, do not increase more than this due to GI side effects, so that everyone knows that this is where we're going to stop this time. Are you willing to try it again? And we really can turn that conversation around as opposed to GLP-1s make me sick. No, that higher dose might have made you ill and you didn't feel great, but let's go back down and then we can look at it again in a year or so later. So keep that in mind as a clinician. You don't, there's so many benefits to these medications. I'm very hesitant to stop it altogether unless they're that, I mean, we obviously do it if someone has horrible side effects, but we really will just ask, was there a dose that you did tolerate? Well, let's go back to that and try again.
So what I'm also really interested about is cost, which I know we don't know yet, and it could end up being priced the same as the injectables, but not having the mechanism, the pen that you're using, I would hope it might be a little bit cheaper, but also because this is a non-peptide, in theory, you could probably split the tablets as well. So there are just maybe multiple ways to kind of cut down on the cost, kind of like what we can do with SGLT2 inhibitors with the higher dose. We could split tablets if we needed to. So hopefully this makes it more affordable for people as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm very excited to see the next step there.
Yeah, definitely. So the other trial that we want to talk about is called the Step Up trial. And this is with a much higher dose of semaglutide. It actually goes all the way up to 7.2 milligrams, which is indeed a lot higher than the currently approved formulation, which for obesity goes up to 2.4 milligrams, and then for diabetes, it goes up to 2 milligrams. So in this study, what they did was they looked at semaglutide 7.2 milligrams And they compared that to kind of the typical 2.4 milligrams for weight management in people with obesity and related complications to see how they would compare to each other. And this was also a large, phase three randomized double blind placebo controlled and active controlled trial. And in total, participants were randomly assigned to either the 7.2, the 2.4 of semaglutide or placebo with lifestyle interventions over 72 weeks. And then the co-primary endpoint was the percent change in body weight and the proportion of participants with a body weight reduction of 5% or greater for semaglutide 7.2 versus placebo by week 72. And so, in terms of the findings, there were 1,407 participants that were included. And the mean change in body weight was greater with semaglutide 7.2 versus the 2.4. And in total, the 7.2 had an 18.7% body weight reduction versus 15.6% with the 2.4 milligrams. So that was a 3.1% difference. It was found to be statistically significant. And then, in addition to that, the semaglutide group was more likely than the placebo group to have that 5% or greater weight reduction. So that ended up being actually 12 to 1 odds that with a higher dose compared to the lower dose. So in total, semaglutide 7.2 was found to be superior to the 2.4 milligrams. And as you'd expect, there was a little bit more side effects in the higher dose, but I wouldn't say anything crazy. So what do you think, Natalie?
This is again, this is yet another do higher dose of GLP-1 that is going to, and that to help with more weight loss compared to the 2.4 milligram dose, right? So that's number one. Number two, we need to remember something, which is semaglutide 2.4 has a cardiovascular risk reduction indication. So it will be interesting to see. This is an easy one to use when someone says to me, "No, I have a lot of heart history in my family. I'm really concerned. My brother had a heart attack at 43," and I start like the lights start going off, right? I am going to choose semaglutide over something that doesn't have that as a risk reduction, at this time at least, right? And so with more weight loss, this makes me even happier, right? This is the data is very strong, and I'm excited about it. And again,
Yeah.
the same side effects, right? We need to mitigate side effects. People aren't going to all be able to go that high, but other people are going to be desperate to go that high. And we just need to realize this is patient specific.
Yeah, I'm trying to like drill into these GI side effects a little bit more because it's interesting because there were high GI side effects even in the placebo group, right? I mean, it's good they also had a placebo group here. So they reported in total there were 70.8% in the 7.2 milligram group. There was 61.2% in the 2.4 group, right? So there definitely was a little bit more. But the placebo group had 42.8%. So it's like, something's going, it's like, are they saying, do you have a stomach ache? Do you have, like, are you nauseous? Are you nauseous? And then they're finally like, yes, today I feel a little nauseous and it gets reported. So it's hard, you got to kind of tease out. I think it is individualized. Some people were probably, fine and others aren't
And
good.
yeah, and remember in a trial, if a person reports a GI side effect one time, it's reported, right?
Yeah.
It's not like, I overate on Saturday night because we had a bunch of people over, so I was a little bit nauseous. Doesn't matter. You're now reported as having nausea. And so that is really what happens in a true study. So I don't, we do have, I'm not saying we don't have people reporting GI side effects. We do, absolutely. But it tends to be sometimes in these trials, it's actually higher than what we see in real life. In real life, we also don't force titrate. So what that means is I can keep someone on a lower dose for weeks or even months if I want to, and then say, okay, if your weight plateaus, if you're starting to, have less satiety, then we can decide to go up, or if your GI side effects, those kinds of things. So in some ways, I think this is the max that I'm going to see, not the minimum when we see this.
One thing I'm thinking about though, and this is probably a kind of a crazy way to think about this, but so the 7.2 milligrams is 3 times the potency, right, of the 2.4. And you're getting an extra 3% body weight loss. So that's good, right? But if I could divide the cost in three and help three people instead of one person, I would do that. Now, unfortunately, it doesn't help, like economics don't work that way, right? I can't
Right.
split it with three people because probably the cost is going to be the same or nearly the same as the lower dose. But I'm just thinking in my head, like, I wish we could do that. Like, I wish we could do GLP-1 for all and, like, I don't know, equally or equitably distribute this.
Right. I agree with you. I mean, there are so many benefits to it, that you're right. This is a real this can be an issue, access. We have a program here. We use the pharmaceutical programs. We have a hospital assistance program here through our charitable side. And there are still people that fall through the cracks, right? I will say that I know that the semaglutide group right now, it's four times the poverty level, right? So you count up the number of
Yeah, so a
people
lot
in
of people
your family.
qualify.
So a lot of people qualify, but not all, right? And the person has to be willing. I had someone the other day who wasn't willing to share their tax information. They're like, "You're not getting that." So there are some challenges with even that patient assistance programs that do exist. But I hear you. I hear you loud and clear that hopefully over time, the cost overall of GLP-1s will be reduced.
Definitely. So one thing I'm really curious about, so this is 3 times the dose, right? And we know that semaglutide has shown cardiovascular benefits in people with diabetes and in people with obesity. What I'm so curious about is the increased potency, is the increased dose, would that be expected to actually have better cardiovascular outcomes compared to the lower dose?
More reduction, more, right? I mean, absolutely. Why, but again, is there a max, right? Like, is there a max, right?
We don't know. I mean, we don't know if it's just any, like you're on 0.5 or one, and that's good enough for cardiovascular events, or if more is better. That's just something we don't know yet that I would love to learn. And hopefully, someone can do a study like
Long
that.
term, what is that going to look like? Right,
Yeah, like in
absolutely.
really high risk people, I think that would be really interesting, like obesity, really high risk, and comparing this higher dose to a lower dose. That I would love to see someone do that. So
Yeah,
someone could do that.
absolutely. Right.
All right. Well, that was so much exciting information. There's definitely going to be more to come. So tune in again soon. But we thank you all for listening to this episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives.